If I wanted to be really exciting, I'd ask you what you remember from the last canto, but I won't try to be so bold, and we'll go back to yesterday's class. Not yesterday's, but the day before. Anyone remember anything? So many hours ago. He's separate. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Anyone, Madhavendra? Who else does that? Who else compares the Lord to an actor on stage? And who else? Sutta, when? Who else later on? Nattabara. The gopis. The gopis. Because Krishna dresses in such a wonderful way, like a theatrical actor on the stage, the best of theatrical actors, that gets on the stage, and what does everyone do? They just stare at him because of the wonderful way that he's dressed. And this tendency, if one sees performers, musicians or something, when they get on the stage, they always wear some type of a peculiar costume that shows them as different from everyone else, so that everyone will simply look at them on the stage so that they can make their performance. Well, Krishna is the best of dancers. Kunti Devi explains, as does Gajendra, that Krishna is like an actor because he's taking a part, but one doesn't really understand who he is, who he actually is. Because Krishna's identity is very, very difficult to understand. Of course, we know that it's not actually possible to understand Krishna fully, because he's just too unlimited. And even Krishna himself doesn't understand himself fully, which is quite incredible if you think about it. There is always a competition between what Krishna knows about himself and Krishna's ever-expanding, unlimited qualities. So this is important for us to understand, because when we go to Goloka Vrindavan, we will never get bored by Krishna as we get bored by everyone else in relationship. We already know them. Oh, whatever realizations they have, whatever this and that, it's already known. But with Krishna, there's no chance of that. So Krishna is the one, the only one, ultimately, who can satisfy us. So here, as we heard, does anyone else remember anything? Something, I'm sure, very, very concise and short. Very good. Gajendra, yes. What is beautiful about them? That's also what... But what's the qualification? Yes, did you know that Kapila Muni explained this point too? He explained this point also in relationship to deity worship, because we should do deity worship. Jiva Goswami makes this point very strongly. But if we just worship the deity and give all our veneration to the deity, but do not respect every other living entity, it will not have its effect, because Krishna is in everyone's heart. So to respect him here and not respect him there shows no respect, actually, or very limited respect. So it's called bhakta praya, in the words of Kapila Muni, like a devotee or almost a devotee or not quite a devotee. So this is extremely important. And it should come naturally to a devotee, to a person advancing in Krishna consciousness, that he naturally should be respectful to all living entities. And if we say that we are religionists and only are respectful for the members of our own religion and wish to and think of the others as outsiders or enemies, this is not pleasing to the Supreme Lord, as if thinking as if some are not his children. Aham bijapada pita. This is very, very disagreeable, actually. And therefore, Krishna consciousness, with its broad philosophical viewpoint, very broad theological philosophical viewpoint, is extremely non-sectarian, in fact. And therefore, it is a great umbrella. The Vedic culture is a great umbrella under which everyone can find shelter, regardless of their religion. It's actually quite practical and quite important in today's insane societies and in this crazy Kali Yuga world. So, should we go through the first? We'll start with text 12 of Gojendra's prayers, and there's ten before 12, because one was an introductory verse. Let's just go through those quickly, because it's been a whole day, and it's hard to remember things more than 1 or 2 minutes. What to speak of a whole day? Do you have a feel for what has been said? Raise your hand if you already have a feel for what the direction that Gajendra is leading his prayers in. Yes? Has anyone looked at it yesterday? The same prayers that you heard already, the first 11? Yes, 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 no, yes, no, some people. Okay, we'll just go through them quickly. In the first prayer, he explains about, he starts with Om Namo Bhagavate, Bhagavate Tasmai. Gajendra said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, so he's offering his obeisances unto Vasudeva, although in fact he's not speaking very much about, and this comes out later, about who he's actually offering his prayers to. Now, what is Vasudeva doing? What is the Supreme Person's relationship? He is the root cause. The material body is acting according due to the presence of him. He's in everyone's heart, and let me meditate upon him. So it's such an important point that Krishna is in everyone's heart, but he's also, so we should be respectful to all living entities, extremely respectful to all living entities, otherwise it offends him. And therefore, one of the aparads that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions from Amnyaya Sutra is something like jana aparad, just offenses to ordinary living entities. We should be very scrupulously careful about that. And he is the worshipable Lord, and everyone's body is working due to his potency. It is not based on me, which is an essential principle of Krishna consciousness, that life, my body, the universe is not based on me and my desires. It is actually based on Krishna's potency. And we are just minor. We have, if we want to compare the Lord to the actor on stage, he is the hero, the Nayaka. He is the hero, and we just have small parts in this drama of life. And that's all we can ever have, a small part. How does that make you feel? No one wants to answer that one, huh? No one wants to think about it. No one even wants to think at this time. Okay, how does that make you feel? All we could ever be is insignificant. no matter what. It's a relief. But it takes you getting hit on the head with a brick before you feel like that. It's a relief. It can be quite discouraging. It can be quite discouraging, depending upon the size of your false ego. It could be quite discouraging. But that's all we could ever be, is the servant. This is the ideal of Krishna consciousness, to become, and Mahaprabhu sets that ideal by saying, Gopi Bharta Parakamalayo Dasa Dasa No Das. And we just want to know what our service is. That's what Krishna consciousness means. And to do that with great devotion and great care. So Krishna is in everyone's heart, and we should meditate on him. And everyone should meditate upon him. And it's not that everyone should meditate upon me. Second verse. So he's the one in everyone's heart. He is our life as the super soul. He is the soul of the soul. This is also described in the Bhagavad Gita. Also other places too. Bhagavatam. He is what makes the soul loved. This is also described in even causes our ability to love ourself. That is also because the super soul is the most lovable object. So we also, because of that, love ourselves. This is described in Brahma's prayers in the 10th canto, 14th chapter. So the second verse, everything in existence, not only ourselves, but everything rests upon him. And yet, he is different from the cause and the result. He is beyond everything. So these verses, Gajendra is defining God, practically speaking. Such intricate conceptions, but very wonderful. And more wonderful, even, is that this person that he's ultimately describing is a cowherd boy. Wanders around Vrindavan. That is the most wonderful thing. But unless we get these concepts, we'll mistake him for being an ordinary person. And that we don't want to do, because we want to develop our loving relationship with him. So in this third verse, he also surrenders unto him, who is self-sufficient in everything. He doesn't... So it's actually... quite inconceivable, or it is inconceivable, that he is completely self-sufficient, yet he acts. He doesn't need anything, and yet he acts. So that naturally raises the question, is what causes him to act if he's self-sufficient and doesn't need anything? We won't go into that now, but we should think about that. What impels him to act? What even impels him to create the universe if he doesn't need anything? Or the universes, what to speak of his actions in the spiritual world? This is actually described by, in a wonderful way, by Srila Jiva Goswami when he describes the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, and Vishwanath also. You know what it is that impels him to act? Yes, our Janmashtami. I don't know if we're going to allow you to do that on such a sensitive topic. Okay, go ahead. It's love, yes, it's prema. And this is, Jiva Goswami says, this is the great rahasya. This is the great secret. Yes, it's love. It is just love, but not only for the great devotees, and also, of course, the parts and parcels, but he comes to the material world to remove, to give the living, the sadhakas, a way to perfect their sadhana. He comes to remove the separation of his, that the devotees are feeling. So the essence, the great secret is love. Love, prema. Prema Pamarto Mahan. So do we want to join in this great love festival that Krishna has? going eternally, or would we prefer to stay here and rot in this miserable material world? What would you prefer? That's interesting. Really? You'd actually prefer to associate with him in the material world? Why not? Yes, okay. But not become a materialist in the material world. You wouldn't want to do that, would you?
No.
Oh, that's good. In the fourth verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding his own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. So it's him who is the creator and destroyer. He's the supreme cause, the supreme result, the observer and the witness. This is really defining the Krishna in relationship with the material world. So we know that he's really talking to about the Supersoul, who is Krishna, the Paramatma in the material world. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Why is he asking for protection? Because he's in great pain and difficulty, and he's so pious that because of his difficulty and despite his difficulty, his consciousness is just fixed on Krishna. He's so pure, he's so surrendered. So was his difficulty his great fortune, or was it his great misfortune? What do you think?
Fortune.
Yes, no, one word. Very good. Very good. His great fortune. And this will be discussed in the next chapter, more than in this chapter. But how the fortune within difficulty, something that's quite amazing. Because usually we think difficulty is misfortune. But here, the exact opposite is going to be described. Because it's brought him to Krishna, and that's the only thing that's worth attaining in existence. Oh, consider that one. I mean, not academically, but consider it while thinking about our own consciousness, that there is nothing else to be gained except a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. Everything else is going to be taken away. It is nothing. It is not possible for us to possess anything else. It is not possible. Only Maya, illusion, makes us think that it is possible to possess something other than a relationship with Krishna. Nothing else is ours. Janmashtami Prabhu. This is good, yes? In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated. So in the previous verse, there was that he was the creator, I think, and the cause, that means the creator, the supreme cause and the supreme result, the observer and the witness in all circumstances, transcendental and yet he's beyond. He keeps this cosmic manifestation visible. So the previous verse was that he maintains it and creates it. And in this verse, he destroys it. And even in the darkness of the destruction, he exists. So he is not destroyed. How could we take shelter of him if he was limited? How could we feel fully confident if he was limited, but he's unlimited? Takes shelter of his lotus feet, does Gajendra. And now, an artist on stage being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements is not understood. He's not recognized by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages. What to speak of those who are like animals, unintelligent like animals. And even after understanding him, no one can express in words his actual position. May he give me protection. He is great. We can never become God. No one of this material world can take a seminar or a course and become God. It just doesn't work. He is just too great. He can never fall under illusion by definition. So even the great sages cannot know him. And even renunciants and great sages who are already on the platform of seeing all beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, they desire to see his auspicious lotus feet. May he says, be my destination. He's so great that this is the perfection of desire of those who are purest, the purest. He has no material birth, this is 9, form, qualities, or faults. And why does he come to this material world? As Rama or Krishna, he comes sambhavam yapma maya, by his own internal potency, by his maya, by his own yoga maya. He has immense potency, and all his forms are free from material contamination. So this is ultimately Krishna, the Supreme Person. And he acts wonderfully, and Krishna acts most wonderfully. And therefore he is the Supreme Brahman. Text 10. Therefore here he names the Shakshi, the Supreme Witness, the Supersoul, the Paramatma. He enlightens the living soul. This is him. And he offers his respectful obeisances. And no one can reach him through his mind, words, or consciousness. So no matter how good our words are, no matter how strong our intelligence or mind is, no matter how pure our consciousness is, we cannot reach Krishna. There is a different formula for reaching Krishna, and that formula is Bhaktyamam Nabhijananti Yavanyas Jasmita. We have to learn to love this Supreme Person. Bhakti, devotional service, loving service. And that is what we are here for. And that is what we want to learn from the Bhagavatam. How to love Krishna. Both our relationship with Krishna, or rather all three. And we want to learn that and the process of developing love for Krishna. And how to live our life in such a way that we advance and go to Krishna. And exactly what our relationship with Krishna is. Prayojana. And then 11, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in transcendence. That is the meaning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the actions of the soul in transcendence, in eternity. And that Lord, he is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness, the master of the transcendental world. So he is above, and we can ultimately realize him when he bestows his mercy upon us. Now text 12. Krishna willing, we shall read 12 through what verse today? Yeah, we'll finish the chapter and 12 to 21, so that's 10. Okay. So more about this Lord who Gajendra is calling for, and there's nothing like distress and anger even, or envy, the negative emotions in one sense that increase the intensity and the focus of our feelings. We've heard that in the beginning of the 7th chapter of the Bhagavatam. So I offer my respectful obeisances. This is text 12. Nama shantaya goraya mudhaya guna dhamane niveshishaya samyaya namo jnana ganaya cha. Beautiful because also they sound very beautiful. Sadvina pati labhyaya nyaniskamina vipastita. Nama kaivalaya nataya nirvana sukha samvide. So they're all poetic and all the syllables are proper. So they are beautifully sounding, and not only that, they have very deep meaning. So in this verse, Gajendra, and just imagine during this composing prayers like this with a crocodile biting your leg, you have to be quite transcendental to be doing it. So here, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisingadeva, to the Lord's form as an animal, Varahadeva, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all other incarnations. So he's come in many, many different forms. He is transcendental. He is beyond material existence, as we heard from the previous verses. And he is only perceivable, in fact, by pure devotees who are acting on the transcendental level, because he is on the transcendental level. And no one on the earthly level can, in fact, or the material level, can in fact perceive him. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord. He is in all his different incarnations, even as Lord Nrisingadeva, even as Buddhadeva, even as Dattatreya. Has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, ignorance, within this material world. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman, effulgence, different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. We'll read the first paragraph of Srila Prabhupada's purport here. In the previous verses, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, he accepts innumerable forms to favor his devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are like the waves of a river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when and how the different incarnations of the Lord appear according to the necessities of time, place, and candidates. Now there's candidates, we have patra, that's candidates here, as opposed to circumstances. The Lord appears perpetually, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dhamasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam. Oh, don't make me do all the work. We want to hear a loud chorus of devotees who love to say verses. Abhutanam adamasya tadatmanam shrijam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the material world, there is always the possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness, and therefore Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Deviation from Krishna consciousness means godlessness. There is always a chance for that to happen. What do you think Prabhupada meant by that? Yes. And therefore, Krishna and the devotees give us ways and means to protect us from that occurring. And therefore, we should take advantage of the ways and means that Krishna and his great devotees have given. Text 13. But he comes in so many different ways, and one of the ways he comes is the Srimad Bhagavatam again. Puranarko Janodhitaha. Now, he has his transcendental bodies when he comes. And here in 13, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the super soul, the superintendent of everything. What does superintendent mean? Supervisor, controller, the in charge, yes, the manager. Of what? Of everything. Again, what do you manage? And I think you're managing? Well, guess what? If you think you're the manager of anything, means Maya is there. You can manage something on his behalf. That's done quite frequently. But as soon as we think that we're the manager or the controller or then we naturally will think we are the enjoyers, because it's mine and to enjoy. No, we are just insignificant servants. So he is the superintendent of everything. And not only that, when you're thinking that you're the manager, he knows it, because he's the witness of all that occurs. Yes, it says it right there. You are the supreme person, the origin of material nature, and of the total material energy. So therefore, it is his, because it comes from him. He controls it. It is not ours. You are also the owner of the material body. So we don't even have that. Even though we could say it's temporary, but at least I have my body is mine. But no, Gajendra is saying, no, even that belongs to you. Even my material body, which is very intelligent for Gajendra to say at this particular point, because he has a crocodile biting his leg. This isn't my problem, Krishna. This is your problem. It's because you are the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the supreme complete. What does he mean when he says the supreme complete? Yes, there is nothing external to you. Nothing is outside of your jurisdiction. Now, nothing is outside of your range. Nothing is outside of your ownership, including me. Therefore, you are the supreme complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, my Lord. Yes. It's such a heavy concept, if you think about it, that we are not the actual owners of our own bodies, and therefore we should not use our bodies just for our enjoyment. They are the property of he who awarded these bodies to us as the super soul. So Prabhupada's purport talks about the Chetragya, because that verse is in here from the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada, and he says, every one of us is thinking, I am this body, this is my body, but actually the truth is different. Our bodies are given to us by the supreme proprietor, the supreme owner. The living entity is also Chetragya, the knower of the body. He is not the body's only proprietor. The actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Chetragya as the Supersoul. And Prabhupada gives the example of the renter and the owner of an apartment or a house. Someone who rents, while he's living there, he can use it, but he does not own it. And there is proof that we do not own our body, because we are not in control of it. And we cannot take it with us when we leave. Just like the renter of an apartment. So later on, Prabhupada purports, therefore the Lord is described in this verse as Atma Mula, the original source of everything. He is the seed of all existences. Bijam mam savabhutanam. Sava yonish kanteya moteya sambhavantiya tasham brahma mahadyonya aham bija prada pita. It should be understood that all living entities and all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed giving father. Plants, trees, insects, aquatics, demigods, beasts, birds, and all other living entities are sons or parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. But because they are struggling with different mentalities, they have been given different types of bodies. Mana shashtanindriyani prakriti stani karsati. Thus they have become sons of prakriti or material nature, which is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living entity in this material world is struggling for existence. And the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death in the evolutionary process is what? Full surrender. This is indicated by the words nama, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And this is the point here, is that we should fully surrender unto Krishna. Ham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshe sami masucha. And he will protect us. Masucha. Do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. We should give ourselves to Krishna. We should stop trying to put ourselves in the center. We should put Krishna in the center. And act in such a way that he will be pleased. So in material life, we try to put ourselves in the center. We try to act continuously in such a way that we imagine, will be pleased. And in fact, we never become pleased. Because that is not the proper way to become pleased. So a real Krishna consciousness means a real change in consciousness. Not superficial change in consciousness, but a real change in consciousness. To not want anything but to please Hari Guru Vaishnava, the Lord and his devotees. This is a very radical change in consciousness. It is not superficial. It is not joining something. It is purification of our false sense of self so that we live in our actual sense of self, in our actual identity. And because it's a change at the root of our identification of who we are, it is very difficult. But if we want to be with Krishna, we have to make this change. And here is the prime step in bhakti. It is surrender, Prabhupada calls it here. Text 14. Savendriya guna drastre sava pratyaya hitave asata chaya yoktaya sarabhasayate nama. My Lord, you are of the observer, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. What does that mean? What does that mean? That you are the observer of all the objects or objectives of the senses. The Sringadevi. That Krishna knows all those objects that there's the senses and the sense objects. They are there from the beginning of creation. If we remember the creation from the third canto. They are there at the beginning of the creation and Krishna knows them all. And without your mercy, there is no possibility, this is very interesting, of solving the problem of doubts. And what function is doubting? The intelligence, yes. So we can't answer all our deep doubts through the intelligence. We need Krishna's mercy, and that requires Shraddha. We cannot figure out reality through our intelligence. All the why questions, you know, why has Krishna done this, and why that? We cannot understand reality by the power of our intelligence. Without mercy, doubts will not be removed. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence. Very interesting verse. Read Prabhupada's purport. To paraphrase this verse, the objectives of sensual activities are actually observed by you. Without your direction, the living entity cannot take even a step forward, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, sarvasyataham hriday sanavisto matasmitam jnanam apohanam cha. You are situated in everyone's heart, and only from you comes remembrance and forgetfulness. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani babati durga The living entity under the clutches of Maya. Isn't that a great phrase? The clutches of Maya. We've been grabbed by Maya and held the clutches in her powerful claw. But in that, just imagine if we were in like the claw of a lion, we're being captured by a lion and we're trying to enjoy something. That's what Prabhupada's explaining, that we are like. We are under the clutches of Maya, the living entity, and he wants to enjoy this material world. But even in that enjoyment, unless you give him directions and remind him, he cannot make progress in pursuing his shadowy objective in life. So even to be in Maya, to try to exploit, to make our attempt to exploit the material world, Krishna's sanction is there. Dehes min purusha para. Could you open the door, please? I think we can do it. So very interesting. Even for the atheist who disbelieves in the existence of the Supreme Lord, he needs Krishna's grace to maintain his atheistical stance. The conditioned soul wrongly progresses towards the wrong objective, life after life, and he is reminded of that objective by you. In one life, the conditioned soul desires to progress towards a certain objective, but after his body changes, he forgets everything. Nonetheless, my Lord, because he wanted to enjoy something of this world, you remind him of this in his next birth. Does anyone have this experience? Yes, that being immediately when young, drawn to specific objects of the senses or particular occupations, and it has, we can't understand in one sense why we don't think about it on that level, but we see this, and it's most obvious in the great, perhaps, or very obvious in the great, on one level, the great religious people who start when they're very young and have very pious religious inclinations from when very, very young. And on the other hand, some of the great composers of the world in Western music, they'll start their composing symphonies at the age of 6 or something like that. How is this possible? It's possible. How is it possible? It's possible by Krishna reminding them of what they wanted to do previously and how far they've advanced in their particular subject previously. So we want to become so fixed in our desire and go as far as we are able in this life in our Krishna consciousness, so that Krishna, even if we are unable by Krishna's arrangement to attain the objective in this life, but we step a great step forward, detached from all other desires and only desiring Krishna, and step forward as far as we can, so that if we, and this is what the great devotees pray, even if I'm forced to take another birth in this world, I don't mind, but just let me take birth in the association of devotees. That's all that's important to them, remembering Krishna. So how, that's such an advanced platform, so fixed, and Gajendra is thinking in this way, so pure, so purely, because of his distress. He sees the true nature of the material world because of his distress. When one is enjoying, one doesn't see the true nature of the material world. Because one thinks, oh, it's for my pleasure, and we don't think this enjoyment is ever going to end. But an intelligent person sees the future. He sees what's just around the corner. There's a crocodile waiting for everyone. So therefore, from the spiritual point of view, distress, yasyaham anugrahami, Harishya Tadanam Sanai is in some cases more favorable if one can handle it, if one can digest it, is more favorable than the pleasures of life. Matta smittam gyanam aponam cha. Because the conditioned soul wants to forget you, by your grace you give him opportunities, life after life, by which he can almost perpetually forget you. Therefore you are eternally the director of the conditioned souls, whether in conditioned or liberated state. It is because you are the original cause of everything that everything appears real. The ultimate reality is your lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Stagamam, jagamam, deki, nadeki, taramoti, savacha, sava, haya, ishtadeva, spoti. A person who is pure, wherever he looks, he sees Krishna. He doesn't see anything outside of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is what it means to be living in Krishna. Maya tateshu chapyaham. This is how wonderful. This is the only way one can be secure in this world. In fact, we can be secure in another way, an illusioned way. But to be secure in a real way, we have to be dealing with reality, and that is Krishna. And therefore, Prahlad is the example of that. He was so secure and fearless in a completely fearful situation, looking at it from the external point of view. But he saw Lord Nrisimhadev everywhere, so therefore, Bahir Nrisimha Hriday Nrisimha Yato Yato Yami Tato Nrisimha. So this is wonderful consciousness. Wonderful consciousness. Krishna consciousness. And this is what we are being led to by Srimad Bhagavatam. For the devotee, yam shama sundaram achinta guna sarupam. He sees Krishna everywhere. For the non-devotee, he sees Krishna nowhere. Why does the devotee see him everywhere? Because he's looking for him everywhere. Just like if you've ever bought, if anyone recently bought a camera or a computer or a new car or something, I'm asking the wrong people, probably. But when, yes. Huh? Yeah. Isn't it true, though, when you're looking for a new computer, everywhere you look, you see new computers, and you see everyone's new computers and everything. Just the consciousness goes there, and you see it. It's true?
Well, I had it ordered, so I
didn't. Okay. But when you have to, you're thinking about which one you're going to get and things like that, and then you start looking. But it happens because Krishna lets us see that everywhere. And if we're looking for Krishna and don't want anything else, this was Mahaprabhu's mood when he came back after taking initiation from whom? Sripad Ishwara Puri. He came back to Navadvip and just would say, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Prabhu said, oh, Nimai Pandit, he is in your heart. And Mahaprabhu immediately started ripping away at his chest. And Mother Sachi Devi was in so much anxiety. And Gadadhar said, don't worry, be patient. Krishna is everywhere. And she calmed him down. He calmed. And Sachi Devi said, you should always stay with my boy because you make him peaceful. Please always stay with him. But everywhere he was just looking for Krishna. This is Etaradeva Gigyasur Atma Gigyasaratmanam. What verse is that? It's the fourth of the Chattasloki Bhagavatam verses, which defines Abhideya Tattva, the process of Krishna consciousness. Okay. Text 15. My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. You are the cause that all causes rest upon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the shelter of Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras like Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system. Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the cause of all causes. You are the secure shelter. You are the foundation of all in existence. And you are the source of Shastra. And you are the source of the Parampara system. So therefore, you are the shelter of all transcendentalists in each or any of your different features. And therefore, he offers respectful obeisances to him. So, the materialist, the devotee, Nokia. All right, Haribol. Yes, I think it may be a good idea. Either that or something. And the last paragraph of this purport. In the purport, Prabhupada's explaining how Krishna is unlimited. He has such potency like the sun that he can give off so many emanations and never be depleted, lessened at all. So wonderful understanding of Krishna. He is not, when he creates millions of universes, he is not less. And even the non-devotees, whatever they get what they get from him. And the karmis, the jnanis, and the yogis, everyone. He is the benefactor and the benedictor of everyone. And in the last paragraph, Prabhupada says, Vedes chasavaraham eva vidya. By studying the Vedic literature, one should understand Krishna. So he is the one, the ultimate. As confirmed here, savagamam naya mahavarnaya mahaarnavaya. He is the ocean, and all Vedic knowledge flows towards him. Vedes chasavar aham eva vidya. Therefore, the conclusion of this, that point is, that intelligent transcendentalists take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the ultimate goal. Savadamam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. So this is pointed to all transcendentalists. My Lord, this is text 16. As the fire in a rani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subjected to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literature, because such advanced souls are transcendental. You personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. What do you think about that? Raise your hand without looking again at it. What do you think about that? Any point? Let me read it again, but don't look, just listen. My Lord, as the fire in a rani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. What do you think about that? What's the meaning of that? Is Krishna covered, really? No.
It's like the cloud in front of the sun.
Yes.
The sun's shining, yes. You can't see it properly because of the clouds.
Yes, okay. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. So, the modes of material nature are covering the eyes of the living entity, and we cannot see the Lord, but the Lord is not attentive to those modes of material nature. How is that going on? As Krishna has. Be Krishna conscious, you mean. But what it... Okay, but yes. Yes. So Krishna is not making this happen. This is happening automatically. Of course, he set everything up. But this is happening automatically now. His mind is not on it, the material world. Yeah, it's by Maya, under the supervision of Maya. Just like the king doesn't worry, his mind isn't on running the prison house continuously. That he has he's empowered, daivyesha, empowered by Krishna, the material energy just goes on and it works so well that indeed we are not beyond the modes of material nature. It just keeps us covered. But those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subjected to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literatures. So the Vedic literatures, gradually or quickly, are the processes that remove the covering. In other words, they are meant to remove our tendency to try to enjoy the cloud of the material nature. And first, and ultimately by identifying as Krishna's servant, first by being enjoying sakam, nishkam, and then if you want to take it to the Brahman level or something like that, where your consciousness is clear, you're not touching this. But ultimately, the Vedic, those who are advanced, they're not under the directions of the Vedic literatures, because the purpose of the Vedic literatures is to remove the cloud, so that when the cloud is removed, they don't need to follow the regulative principles. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. So they can see you. Because by your grace, you descend into their pure minds. That would be very nice, yes? And the price is here, that we have to give up the enjoying tendency in the material world and very much and only want to serve him. And then Krishna appears. There's a descent into the heart. First the internal energy, and then Krishna. And what's the goal? And what's the way out? Battering, the battering ram. What's the way out? When does it stop happening? Well, but before we can become surrendered, we have to become humble. Therein lies the key.
That's the natural process.
Well, especially if one has a lot of motive passion in one. It's the process for us because of that.
Second.
Because of the motive passion we suffer. Those in the mode of ignorance don't suffer in that way. And those in the mode of goodness don't suffer in that way. Those in the mode of goodness don't have that kind of tension. And those in the mode of ignorance also don't. but that specific kind of suffering is the blessing of the mode of passion. Because we want to do it. We want to do it. We want to, you know, uncover it and stop the modes and so we can become devotee. But it doesn't work like that. It works by humility. I can't do it. And you give up the responsibility. And that's what, in some ways, that's what Gajendra is saying. He just says, Krishna, you do it. If you don't save me, I can't be saved. My business is to serve you as best I can. And if you want to make me advanced, it's up to you. If not, I'm a servant anyway. That mood removes the tension. Maintaining it can't be done without purity. You know, it was Yasoda Mayi, the rope was always two fingers too short. One is Krishna's mercy and one is our endeavor. But we have five fingers too short, you know, or 1,000 fingers, and one is Krishna's mercy, but our endeavor is all the rest. It's just so hard to accept insignificant servants. And if Krishna doesn't do something, doesn't do it for us, we want him to do it. Because when we try to do it, we bring so much passion in. We cause so much trouble. We end up taking 1,000 steps forward, but 999 steps back, and that's the 999 steps back that cause all the pain. What do you think of this analysis? Yeah, but them. You mean you're talking about non-devotees or or devotees? Well, you do the basic things because this is what you've been asked to do by Shastra. You do your work. Shastra, Guru, Vaishnava, you do your work. But you don't do it that it's all resting on me, because it isn't. And carrying the load of it's all resting on you, like Fifth Avenue in New York, right? You know, tired old Atlas holding up the globe. It's not how it works. Somehow or another, like the example of Prabhupada was that he did so much, and he didn't do, it's not that he didn't do his hard work, he worked so hard, but he did it without the motive passion. And even in anxiety situations, he was in anxiety, but he wasn't passionate. He worried, but he wasn't passionate. He fought, but he wasn't passionate. And therefore, I heard him say that in the beginning, we had nothing, and there was no anxiety. And now, we have so much, and there's still no anxiety. Of course, he did have anxiety at different times for so many different things, but there was no passion. Meaning no thinking that it's all me, it all depends on me. You work knowing that you work hard, but it's really success or failure is in Krishna's hands. I mean, I know it's easy to say these things, and it's really hard to do it, but the reason why it's hard to do it is because of the motive passion. Because we're attached, and we're attached not only because of service, and Krishna's work is at stake, where it's also attached because of our false egos. So to purify the consciousness means to be doing it for Krishna. And then we have attachment for Him, and then we're detached from the results. But because of the other things that we bring in addition to our attached wanting to please Krishna. Let me read a little more. And then the next question that you ask, what do you do if you like that? Well, then you get a headache all the time because you keep banging your head against the wall. But, yeah, what do you do? So we want to get purified of all the things that aren't actually, all the anartas, because they stop us from doing our service properly. For a devotee, tesham evanakampartam. For a devotee who has taken the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart, the Lord gives spiritual enlightenment known as Jnana-dipa by special mercy from within. This Jnana-dipa is compared to the fire hidden within Arani wood. To perform fire sacrifices, great sages previously did not ignite a fire directly. The fire would be invoked from the Arani wood. Similarly, all living entities are covered by the modes of material nature. And the fire of knowledge can be ignited only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one takes Him within one's heart. Savai mana Krishna padadavindayor. If one takes seriously the lotus feet of Krishna, who is seated within one's heart, the Lord eradicates all ignorance. By the torch of knowledge, one immediately understands everything properly by the special mercy of the Supreme Lord and becomes self-realized. In other words, although a devotee may externally not be very well educated, because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him enlightenment from within. So we serve. We serve with what we are, however, whatever state we're in. What else can we do? But we also put our time into hearing and chanting properly, and associating with devotees properly, and in the dhams properly, and worshipping the deities properly, so that we become purified, so we're not just, we don't have to only undergo the tribulations of our current limited abilities. And we try to change our desires so that we actually purify our desires. to just to be humble servants of the servants of the servant. Okay, you want me to do this? Okay. You want me to do that? Okay. There's that. Tivikramaraj once told me that in one morning he went to, Prabhupada told him to go to Japan or Chandigarh or somewhere. And then, maybe it was Japan. And then someone, there was some altercation or some problem with a devotee. Another devotee was there and that devotee complained. So then in the afternoon Prabhupada said, you should go to Korea. So Vikramaraj said, but Prabhupada, you just told me this morning to go to Japan. And then Prabhupada said, yes. And this afternoon I'm telling you to go to Korea. Because there's a tendency, you know, because we want to put our mind in and all the... But, that you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's that in one purport Prabhupada said, in the beginning you get the pleasure from the service, but in the end you get, I think it's in one of the Chaturasloki Bhagavad Gita verses in the 10th chapter, but then you get the pleasure from love of Krishna. So in a simple way, in the beginning we get the pleasure from doing something for Krishna, a service, but then we just want to please Him. And that's because we love Him, because of affection. Okay, you want me to go to Korea? You want me to go to Japan? You want me to go to hell? You know, apituyatadashana. No attachments to anything other than the pleasing Krishna. So that's transcendental, and that's based on goodness. You can see why. Because there's no material attachments on the material level. Not easy, yeah? No, because of the mode of passion. But what to do? But what to do? 17. Since an animal such as I have surrendered unto you, who's speaking? He is an animal, after all. He's an elephant. You who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position because I have no ability on my own. But he struggled for a long time. But he was losing. And only when he was really losing, because after all, he was the king of elephants. And he had all those others around, you know, they're all saying... You know, we love you, you're the king of elephants. But after struggling and losing the struggle, and that's what it seems to take. We struggle with what we have, which often is, you know, the modes of material nature. What else can we do? But if we continue, at some point we will lose the struggle. And then we will really surrender to Krishna more deeply. Oh, not really, as if the other isn't a surrender to Krishna. But then it will deepen for us. Or if we win the struggle. But if we think ourselves the winner, I have done this, then if Krishna is really kind, you know, he'll pull the carpet. And we end up on our nose again. Because Krishna wants us, our hearts, he wants Krishna consciousness more than he wants the result. So you can release me from this dangerous, but he wouldn't, just remember, until he failed, until he was at the point of death, practically, he knew that this was it. Unless Krishna helps me. So nothing like great distress to evoke sincerity from the heart like that. You know, complete sincerity and surrender, because there's no other choice. Indeed, by being extremely merciful, you incessantly tried to deliver me. Very interesting. Incessantly, continuously, even now at this moment, even in the most difficult circumstances, it's Krishna trying to deliver us. By your partial features, Paramatma, you are situated in the heart of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport on the towards maybe half or two-thirds. Practically, everyone is therefore meaning identification with the body. This is right above the last paragraph. Practically, everyone is a pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequence. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara savabhutanam riddhishe arjuna tishtati. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Buddhi karunaya namo alayaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated, but although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Savadamam pratyaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Nonetheless, he does not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Buddhi Kurunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is there. So that's that even in the difficult times, Krishna is there. He's not inattentive. 18. My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cores of their hearts. So those who are not free get the treatment, who are sincere and not free, who have the covering over their eyes, who tend to forget Krishna, tend to think, I am the doer, they get the special treatment of the crocodile. But those who are completely free from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cause of their hearts. So they don't have the cloud, and they're never thinking themselves the doer, they're never thinking themselves the controller, they're never taking anything from their service for themselves, they're just servants of Krishna. And they're always meditating on him. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. So due to the modes of nature, I'm too attached, and therefore it's very difficult for me to be like those who are not touched by the modes. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So only the liberated soul who is free from material attachments can always think about Krishna because he's liberated and has no touch of the modes of material nature. So Krishna, again, he treats the other souls in another kind of affectionate way, for the purpose of bringing them to a higher level. And after worshipping, this is text 19, after worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. Just towards the end of the purport, about two-thirds. The Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. And we see that when we read the literatures, the great souls, we read about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, they're so humble. They have such a low estimation of themselves, which means that whatever contaminations they see in their hearts appear very substantial. You can't say that they're there even, but it appears so substantial to them. So they're so humble. So the Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wanted the material benediction of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received the spiritual body, he also got the kingdom. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. So what do we want? That question we should ask. What is it that I actually want? Therefore, since Gajendra, king of elephants, had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get free from the present danger and indirectly from the present danger of material life, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead not fulfill his desire? We'll just read this last one here, last verse for now, then we'll liberate you from an extra long class. 20 and 21. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord worship him in full surrender and always hear. So this is what full surrender means. Or this is what the pure devotees do. In full surrender and always hear chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of bliss. So there's the activity, and the result of the activity is they're blissful because they're connected to Krishna continuously. Because why are they connected to Krishna continuously? Because that's what they want. That's what it means to be an unalloyed pure devotee. This is your only desire, to serve Krishna. So they, and Krishna gives them that. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I prayed to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities, such as Brahma, who is available only to transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realizations. He is unlimited, he is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. Almost all his realizations were expressed about Krishna in relationship to the material world. These are secondary characteristics of Krishna, not his primary characteristics. So we'll read. But that was the level that he's at, and he expressed it to Krishna, and sincerely, fully, with great intensity because of his pain and the depth of realization of his inability to protect himself due to the reality, the pain of reality. So he expressed that completely, sincerely, and Krishna came. Or he will come. Purport. Anya vilasita sanyam janakamadanavritam anakulena krishna krishnanu silanam bhaktirutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. Unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes, when there is no alternative, a pure devotee being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord prays for some benediction. So that was, remember you brought that up, Madhavendra, quoting from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu in the commentary, one of the commentaries, Anya Abhilasita. So instead of Anya Bilas, Anya Bilasita, which means, implies this means this specific point, that when one is in great distress or difficulty, and one prays to Krishna for something specific, it does not obviate or change his position as a pure devotee. But Prabhupada will explain a little more about that here. But in such a prayer, there is also regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benedictions. Unless one is completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in the ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing, and dancing in ecstasy. This is bhakti yoga. Therefore, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, Adhyatmika yoga gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. That is actually being seen in this Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of bhakti yoga is the spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktyaham mikaya graya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. What canto is that from?
11.
Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya shakta manaparta yogam yunjan marashraya asamsayam samagram mam yata gigyasi tatshanu. Now hear, O son of Prita Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness, and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. So what will it take for us to be on that level? We either have to be purified or get some special mercy, which, thinking of the kind of special mercy that Gajendra got, it's enough impetus to help us, inspire us to get, I just want to be purified. I don't want to have to get hit again or bitten again by another crocodile. But that's the desire for liberation. What we want to do is increase our taste, our desire to become servants of Krishna, to become attracted and attached to Krishna. That is what we want. And that should be the primary foundational inspiration, not the desire to become free from misery, but that being, if we see the difficulties of life, and they must be there, it is interwoven within life, material life, the material world, they must be there. If we see those as Krishna pushing us, conjunction with him pulling due to our attachment that comes through hearing and chanting about him, then we are very fortunate. Then we'll see Krishna in all circumstances. Okay, we'll stop here.